Blog Talk Radio.
To our Common Ground with Janice Graham.
This is Janice Graham. And you're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, a community discussion. Charles Hutton's The Corner and HBO's The Wire, Season 1. I'll be listening for you. And good evening to you, and thank you for being with us. Here at Our Common Ground on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for having patience with our technical difficulties. Of course, Blog Talk Radio gives you a calendar that says February and has March dates on it. And of course, I chose the 21st of March, but we're all here. Thank you, and for those of you who are new to Our Common Ground, we welcome you, and for those of you who are chatting in our open chat room at Our Common Ground chat room on Blog Talk Radio, thank you for being with us. We see that we have all of the Our Common Ground regulars, Chicago Stepper, Miss India DeClaire of the India DeClaire Show, and Alpho of the Alpho Show here at Blog Talk Radio, and Nabazak, who is a vet from U.S. Talk Network. We are all refugees here on Blog Talk Radio from the U.S. Talk Network, .com network, and this is Talk Radio That Matters. Our number tonight, and you must write it down, 347-838-9852. That is how you can get in on our discussion on this special broadcast. We will be talking about Charles Dutton's The Corner. It originally aired in May 2000. It ran as a six-part miniseries on HBO. It is an American television miniseries based on the book The Corner, A Year in the Life of an Inner City Neighborhood, which was written by David Simon and Ed Burns and adapted for TV by Simons and David Mills. It premiered on HBO on April 16th, 2000 and ended its six-part run in May 21st. And it chronicles the life of a family living in poverty amid the open-air drug markets of West Baltimore, Maryland. The Corner is at the junction of West Lafayette Street and North Monroe Street. We certainly hope that all of you who will join us in this discussion has seen this six-part miniseries. In our Common Ground discussion last night, many of the regulars found that this was both riveting as well as revealing. And tonight we decided here at Our Common Ground to get together and to talk about Gary McCullough, who is a drug-addicted father of DeAndre and ex-husband of Fran. He dropped out of college when Fran became pregnant and became addicted to drugs after their marriage ended. and it is the story of their family. It is the story of their struggles and of their journeys, and I don't want to be a spoiler, but of course it is the story of their beginnings and endings. In our second hour tonight at Our Common Ground, we're going to be talking about another riveting TV event, and many people describe it as the TV event of the decade, and it is The Wire. And you may ask the question, why are we talking about these? There are a number of reasons why we might talk about both The Corner and The Wire during this Black History Month. And it is also very telling about how we saw these. About these shows and what they meant. For those of you who did not see The Wire or The Corner, and you do have premium cable TV, both The Wire in the full six parts, and The Corner, the full six parts of The Corner, which was a six-part miniseries, and The Wire are airing on HBO on their demand section until March 1st. So that will give you an opportunity. Also, many, many of the episodes of The Corner and The Wire can be seen online. I don't know if it's for free or not. But The Wire was one of television's most critically acclaimed programs. It was a Peabody Award-winning drama series, which really can challenge viewers with a cop show like unlike any other on air. It ran for six seasons, each season had to do with some aspect of urban living. The Wire was created by David Simon, and the executive producers were David Simon and Nina Kostroff Noble. And I believe that it was probably one of the most fantastic TV shows ever to air. We will be hearing clips tonight from David Simon, who is the creator of The Wire, and his sense. I think that all of you who joined in the nation in watching both of these shows understand how important it becomes. Write this down. Our number, our call-in number is 347-838-9852. We're going to be running this very much like an open forum. So if you want to get on the air and you want to express or share your thoughts about these, we will certainly welcome them. Let's start off by talking about The Corner. It's about addiction. It brings to us the issues of teen sexual activity, contraception, unwanted pregnancy, abortion, the penal system, the law enforcement system, Black families, the demise of Black families under the epidemic of crack cocaine. It really brings us there. Let's take a look, listen to this trailer. This is The Corner.
Let me ask you something, Officer Brown. Are we going to win this war on drugs?
No comment. Coke or dope, what you mean?
I told you to leave them corners alone.
This is not for children.
I've been taking care of myself for a long time.
I am still your mother, okay? And you are my child. And as long as you're living under my roof, you're going to respect my house.
Maybe if you detox, you could get back with my father and everything could be just like it was.
Your dad is just as much a dope fiend as I am.
Where's my money?
Your money?
My 200, I want it.
I gave that to your mom.
Nah, boo.
I swear.
I know you have a better heart than what you show people.
You want to play this game? You can't cry when the game plays you.
I could jail if I have to.
There ain't been no good dope out here worth a goddamn for 10 years. We ain't even addicted to drugs. We addicted to the needle.
Don't make sense. Where they all so glad to see us fall.
She look good, don't she?
Yeah. Let's see how long it'll last.
We sitting here day after day making ourselves a little bit less human. Seem like the world just can't wait for us to finish until we all end up dead.
Man, just shut up and shoot dope.
There's a corner everywhere.
To our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. And tonight, in this first hour, we're talking about Charles Dutton's The Corner. It first aired on HBO from the book The Corner, A Year in the Life of an Inner City Neighborhood, written by David Simon and Ed Burns. They are both the creators as well of The Wire. Each episode started and ended with a documentary-style interview where a lead character answers questions from the director, Charles Dutton. And in episode one, Dutton opens with the question interviewing Gary McCullough, a drug-addicted father of DeAndre and ex-husband of Fran. He dropped out of college when Fran became pregnant and became addicted to drugs after their marriage ended. And Dutton says to Gary, "Gary, you should have never caught up in this." 34-year-old Gary McCullough. And we're going to go to our phones. Don't forget, our number is 347-838-9852. And this is an open forum for you to discuss and share with us your thoughts, your insights, and your understanding of this show, The Corner, in this first hour. I'm Janice Graham, and thank you again for being with us. We've got a caller from area code 248. Please, when you call, identify yourself and let us know who you are. Good evening and welcome to Our Common Ground.
Janice, I was just listening. Because I can't hear it on my computer. This is Navazar.
Navazar. Listen, did you see the corner? I know that you did. Navazar, are you there? Navazar, you're still on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Did you see the corner?
I have to tell you, I have never seen this show before. I used to watch The Wire years ago, but I had no idea that Charles Dutton had something to do with that. I remember him from going back to All My Children. I believe he was married to the black lady character on there.
Yeah.
And I remember him being in jail because he had, I don't know if he had accidentally or angrily killed someone. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he served his time and came out, and, mm-hmm. you know, he rehabilitated. So his story is really an absolutely great story. You know.
Well, we are really recommending that everyone, you see, the corner aired before The Wire started, and the corner was really the impetus for Ed Burns and Simons to do The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
So it is airing on HBO this month, all 6 episodes, mm-hmm. and we're suggesting. So I'm going to put you on mute.
Okay.
I'm not going to hang up on you. I'm going to put you on mute and let you listen in. And I'm going to unmute you when we start talking about The Wire.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Our number is 347-838-9852. We welcome your calls here at Our Common Ground in our open forum discussion about The Corner. One of the things that was and is so valuable about this kind of TV is because it gives us an opportunity to take a look at ourselves. And one of the things that I was thinking as I was preparing for this show tonight is it gives us an opportunity to look back at what we did not see when it originally aired. And keep in mind the context of the time that there have been demonizing images of drug dealers, drug users, addicted people. Teen pregnancy was at an all-time high in the African-American community, but nobody had really talked about, had examined the people that has been so demonized. And these images on the corner gave us an opportunity to see some of that these were real people. They weren't trash that we throw out. You know, for instance, Candy Alexander plays Francine Boyd, a drug-addicted mother of DeAndre and DeRod. And she lives in a house that's occupied by her sister, her two sisters, and her brother-in-law. So there are 3 sisters, all of their children, all living in the same place. And people in the neighborhood refer to it as the Dewdrop Inn. Her sisters Bunchy and Sherry and her brother Stevie and his son. That was one character. Sean Nelson plays DeAndre McCullough. He is a 15-year-old. He's a drug dealer. He's the son of Gary and the son of Fran. And then there's Clark Peters, who played Fat Kirk, who was absolutely one of my favorite characters. He was totally on the high drug dealer who had gotten older, was so addicted that he was getting his heroin shots in between his toes. His health had totally deteriorated, but at one time he was on top of it in all of his glory. On top of everything. I've got another. I think that one of the characters that I found enthralling in terms of his confusion, as well as his conflict about it, was Gary. Gary McCullough, who was the father of DeAndre and the ex-husband of Fran. He had been successful at one time, and then as his marriage deteriorated, he deteriorated along with it. And one of the things that Gary does in within the six-part miniseries is to really struggle with trying to find his way out, but also trying to hold on to it. And he was in a great deal of pain. Let's listen to Gary talk about, he's in this scene, he is in a drug house where everybody is getting high. He's over at Blues, and he's talking to Fat Kurt, and he's talking to all the drug dealers in this dark house, no electricity, nothing, and they're all sitting there. And Gary, at this point, is trying to figure out how he gets out of his addiction and who he was, and he's mourning the loss of his youth, his success in his youth. Our number is 347-838-9852, and we welcome a call from you.
I said, this shit ain't gonna kill us all. Somebody's always gonna see the other side.
You feeling it? They say them pink tops pretty good.
I went to see this movie. The one about what they did to the Jews in the war.
You went to see a movie?
Saw what they did to them people.
What kind of dope thing go to the goddamn movie? The
Germans decided that they weren't human no more. They just said, no, you ain't human like we human. And when they said that, hey, man, just got easy for them to do all kinds of dirt. By the end, all the Germans could do, man, was like get rid of them, you know, kill them all. Because, you know, they couldn't see them being anything better than rats or bugs.
That sounds like a miserable-ass movie.
Man, but it was real, all right? And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this movie, and I'm realizing it's happening again.
How you mean, Gary?
Hey, man, we sitting here day after day making ourselves a little bit less human, and the world's happy to see it. It seems like they're happy to see it, man. I mean, when I was making money, like, it didn't matter, because I was still a nigga. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm sitting up here getting high with y'all, it's still the same.
You talk some crazy shit, Gary.
Don't you see what I'm saying? The Germans made the Jews and the niggers. That's what that was about. And that's what this is here. Said we doing it to ourselves. It seemed like the world just can't wait for us to finish. Until we all end up dead.
Man, just shut up and shoot dope.
Man.
There's a corner everywhere.
That was Gary McCullough, a dope fiend. And he says in that scene, we sitting here day after day making ourselves a little bit less human. At this point in the series, he's attempting to go straight. He gets a seasonal job at the crab market where he worked in when he was a kid. And when an addict gets shot, a local artist named Blue realizes the time to clean up his life is now or never. DeAndre, Gary's son has a new girlfriend, not knowing that, and her name is Tyreka. And these were real people. This book was written about real people. The new girlfriend, who is Tyreka, whom he's been ignoring, is pregnant with his child, with his mother in rehab. And DeAndre turns to Gary for some money to feed the family. All of these are the dynamics that went on in this mini-series, and we'd like to hear from you, especially from those of you who watch this. Now, you all know how I do. I watched it when it aired live. I bought the DVD set. I watch it often because I think inside of this drama are lessons for us to learn. Inside this drama, inside each one of the characters, whether it be Francine or Fran, as she is known, whether it is Tyreka, DeAndre, the 15-year-old DeAndre's girlfriend, who's probably 13 or 14, that there are some places of examination and observation that obviously we did not learn. You know, and there are some. I mean, there was some comical. Let me play this. While I'm waiting for you to call at 347-838-9852 to have this open conversation, it was interesting how every moment, every waking moment, the characters in this miniseries spent working hard at surviving. Working hard at surviving. And money becomes central to it all. Take a listen to the conversation that DeAndre, the 15-year-old boy, son of Gary, both his parents are drug addicted. Both of his parents love him, as most parents. And they all three are lost. Caught up in a world of drugs and love of money and addiction, which is different from drugs. DeAndre is caught up in his identification as a young man, he's caught up in his sexual identification as defining him as a man. Take a listen to this.
My aunt and me talking about going down University Hospital, getting an abortion.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, let me know.
But it costs $200. Least you could do is pay for it, since you're responsible.
I'll see what I can do. You my girl.
So, what do you say? I told him I need $200 for an abortion.
You won't get an abortion?
No, and even if I was, University Hospital will give you one for free.
So why you say that then?
$200, girl. You stupid ass.
$400?
That's what she say. University Hospital is charging her.
And they make her pay before she get the abortion?
I guess.
Andre, where in the hell am I going to get $400?
Scoogie?
She. You sure she don't want to have this baby?
No, she having an abortion.
She say that?
I say that.
Andre, it's her body. She gonna do what she damn well please. How many times did I leave you condoms on that dresser and tell you not to be messing around without using protection?
Forgot.
$600?
Gucci, that's how much he's saying it costs.
Be real, friend. Where am I put my hands on $600? Huh? You know what I think? I think you're gonna be a grandma.
You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. Our number is 347-838-9852, and we are so grateful to have you join us in this open forum on in this first hour, The Corner, Charles Dutton's The Corner. It is the American TV miniseries based on the book The Corner, A Year in the Life of an Inner City Neighborhood, written by David Simon and Ed Burns. It aired on the premium cable network HBO in April 2000 and ended its original six-part run on May 21st, 2000. And it chronicles the life of a family living in poverty amid the open-air drug markets of West Baltimore. There is really a corner. Gary McCullough and Fran Boyd are real people. DeAndre McCullough are real people. This series, this gritty, uncompromising, realistic, smartly directed, and supremely well acted, and it was compulsively watchable. And part of what made it so unique was that it was absolutely riveting, because we understood very much that at the end of the tunnel, comparing it to the television equivalent of films like Last Exit to Brooklyn and Requiem for a Dream, that the elements in common with those movies just were unbelievable. Our number is 347-838-9852, and we ask you to join us if you have seen this miniseries, if you'd like to talk about some of the compelling issues. We were late coming on air. For those of you who are just joining us, and Dr. Deb and Doc Don, thank you for joining us. I see that you have come in our chat room at blogtalkradio.com/OCG. You can join our audience in text messaging or chatting about The Corner. And we're going to play a couple of clips from The Corner so that it will get you started. But this started out as a conversation last night with some Our Common Ground regulars and fans of both the India Declare show and Our Common Ground and the Alpha show to talk about these two particular TV miniseries. And one of the reasons is that sometimes we have to look at our problems to really be able to think about them from the people who are the victims of the problems of urban America. We talked a lot about the family, the destruction of the family. And one of the most important things about The Corner is that this series captures a full montage of what happened in the black community as a result of the epidemic of crack. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we hope that you will join us at 347-838-9852.
There's a call everywhere. We'll be right back.
I said, this shit ain't gonna kill us all. Somebody's always gonna see the other side.
You feeling it? They say them pink tops pretty good.
I went to see this movie. The one about what they did to the Jews in the war.
You went to see a movie?
Saw what they did to them people.
What kind of dope thing go to the goddamn movie?
Germans decided that they weren't human no more. They just said, no, you ain't human like we human. And when they said that, hey, man, just got easy for them to do all kinds of dirt. By the end, all the Germans could do, man, was like get rid of them, you know, kill them all. Because, you know, they couldn't see them being anything better than rats or bugs.
That sounds like a miserable-ass movie.
Yeah, but it was real, all right? And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this movie. And I'm realizing that it's happening again.
How you mean, Gary?
Hey, man, we sitting here day after day making ourselves a little bit less human. And the world's happy to see it. It seems like they're happy to see it, man. I mean, when I was making money, like, it didn't matter. Because I was still a nigga. And now that I'm sitting up here getting high with y'all, it's still the same.
You talk some crazy shit, Gary.
Don't you see what I'm saying? The Germans made the Jews and the niggas. That's what that was about. And that's what this is here. Except we doing it to ourselves. It seems like the world just can't wait for us to finish. Until we all end up dead.
Man, just shut up and shoot dope.
Man.
Thank you for being with us here at Our Common Ground in our open discussion about The Corner, the 2000. I keep wanting to say 2002. Award-winning, the miniseries won several Emmy Awards in 2000, including that for Best Miniseries. Charles Dutton won for the direction of the miniseries. David Mills and David Simon won the Emmy for their writing, and The Corner was also nominated for Outstanding Casting for a Miniseries, Movie, or Special. We welcome your calls at 347-838-9852. If you have seen the movie, you know, one of the things that there were many people who during the time that this show was airing was saying that they thought it was inappropriate to have such a show. It was the first time that we had seen the rawness of this show and of these issues. And there were many people who felt that it was too raw. But you hear Gary, I mean, one of the things that we have to do is we have to tell the truth to ourselves. Gary says in that last clip that we played, we sitting here day after day making ourselves a little bit less human. Another of the things that he says in that scene is the Germans made the Jews and the drugs making the niggas. Up until this time, we had never, ever had drama on TV which told the real truth and laid out the fabric of who these people are that they kept telling us on the news were drugged out, down and out, and destroying their families and communities. We welcome your call at 347-838-9852. 9852. We especially encourage those of you who last night wanted to talk about this miniseries. I think that I want to kind of be reserved. But, you know, I played a clip earlier and no one picked up on it. I was hoping someone would call in and pick up on it, because in the clip, one of the characters, who is Andre, these are real people. At the last episode, Charles Dutton did an interview with the real people who these characters portrayed, their story. And DeAndre, who is the 15-year-old whose girlfriend Tyreka is pregnant, is telling him in that clip, he's telling her that he's going to be there for her, and she's telling him that she's talked to her aunt and they're going to go down to the university hospital and get an abortion, and she's telling him that it costs $200. Her girlfriend says to her in this clip, in this particular scene, why'd you tell him that? Are you going to have an abortion? And she said, no, I just told him that. He's just stupid. And it's $200, meaning she can get $200 from him. Well, DeAndre goes home to his drug-addicted mother. Well, at this point in the series, Fran has gone to rehab, and she has beat her addiction. And DeAndre goes home to Fran and tells her that the abortion is $400. Then they're trying to figure out how they're going to get the money for the abortion, and Fran calls her brother and asks for $600 for the abortion. So it's it's comical, but at the same time, it speaks to a very destructive kind of hustle that goes on around with people who are struggling to survive in a drug-infested. If you see the film, you will see that there's an open market on West Lafayette Street, which I visited, by the way, a little, maybe about 5 or 6 months after they had completed filming the corner. I was on a tour of some programs that were being put in place into the new public housing that had been federally funded, and there were some programs that were going into this new housing. As a matter of fact, I was on the block right at West Lafayette Street, and in if you know Baltimore, West Lafayette and North Monroe Street, right where all of this had been filmed and actually happened. You're listening to Our Common Ground. We're speaking truth to power and to ourselves here at Block Talk Radio. Our number for you to call in is 347-838-9852, and I would welcome your calls. We'd be really interested in talking to any of you who have seen the film or read the book. It's really interesting that HBO and Charles Dutton have really put a lot of security around around the audio for this film, and I was really interested in getting more clips for you for this show, so that those of you who had not seen it. But let me let me play another clip here. I'll play the trailer, but one of the things, it's really interesting that I'm going to say that Gary was a key character. He's a drug-addicted father of DeAndre and the ex-husband of Fran. He dropped out of college when Fran became pregnant and became addicted to drugs after their marriage ended, but he was very successful in his young days in terms of being able to provide for his family. Fran had always been a big party girl, got into the drugs. As a matter of fact, when I hate to be a spoiler for those of you who are going to watch it, but it's really interesting that both Gary and Fran, the parents of DeAndre, who is also a drug dealer at 15 years old, that they are trying to find a way to try to rescue DeAndre. And DeAndre is not having any of it at all. But Gary, in one of the scenes, talks about how his family tried to rescue him. Here it is.
But you've tried to detox?
My family, you know. They took me down to Carolina and down to my brother Dan's house down there in Fayetteville. And they figured that if they could just, like, get me out of Baltimore, that's
so,
it.
So, what happened?
There's a corner in Fayetteville, too. There's a corner everywhere.
Now, I really found that an absolutely riveting scene. Gary is living with his parents, who... His mother is a church-going woman who did right by her family. In the film, you'll find Gary's father being interviewed by Charles Dutton. And he talks about how when he moved into the West Baltimore neighborhood, it was mostly white, and they were one of the first black families, and how he has watched for many years the deterioration and the drugs coming in to the community. Also, there is some interesting scenes around the changing of the generation of policemen in this neighborhood. One of the key characters in the miniseries is the beat cop, and his name is Bob Brown. And Bob Brown talks about how new police people are less competent to deal with the realities of that particular neighborhood. And Henry, thank you for joining us. Gregos, thank you for joining us. And Jose Gomez, thank you for joining us tonight. Our open forum, discussion forum, is about the corner. And we invite your calls. The American television miniseries, which is based on the book The Corner, A Year in the Life of an Inner City Neighborhood by David Simon and Ed Burns. Last night I had mentioned in another conference with many of our listeners that it was being shown on HBO this month, and there are a number of things. For instance, for those of you who have children who have never seen the miniseries Roots, Roots is being shown on, I have Comcast service. There are two or three documentaries on Martin Luther King. There's some documentaries on the civil rights movement and the March on Washington. There's a very good movie for, especially for young girls, teenage girls, called Rain. and it's about a girl who aspires to be a runner in the Bahamas and the life that she has to journey through in order to do us in order to become a runner. Her mother a prostitute, and she had been living with her grandmother, and her grandmother passes away and she has to go live with her mother. In the few minutes that we have open lines at 347-838-9852. If you'd like to share with us your understanding, your insight, your recommendations about Charles Dutton's The Corner. He was the director. David Simon was the producer of this show, and we certainly recommend it highly.
There's a corner everywhere.
Let me ask you something, Officer Brown. Are we going to win this war on drugs?
No comment. Coke or dope, what you mean?
I told you to leave them corners alone.
This is not for children.
I've been taking care of myself for a long time.
I am still your mother, okay? And you are my child. And as long as you're living under my roof, you're going to respect my house.
Maybe if you detox, you could get back with my father and everything could be just like it was.
Your dad is just as much a dope fiend as I am.
Where's my money?
Your money?
My 200, I want it.
I gave that to your mom.
Nah, boo.
I swear.
I know you have a better heart than what you show people.
You want to play this game? You can't cry when the game plays you.
I'd go to jail if I have to.
Been no good dope out here worth a goddamn for 10 years. We ain't even addicted to drugs. We addicted to the needle.
Don't make sense. Were they all so glad to see us fall?
She look good, don't she?
Yeah. Let's see how long it'll last.
We sitting here day after day making ourselves a little bit less human. Seem like the world just can't wait for us to finish until we all end up dead.
Man, just shut up and shoot dope.
I said, this shit ain't gonna kill us all. Somebody's always gonna see the other side.
You feeling it? They say them pink tops pretty good.
I went to see this movie. The one about what they did to the Jews in the war.
You went to see a movie?
No, what they did to them people.
What kind of dope thing go to the goddamn movies?
The Germans decided that they weren't human no more. They just said, no, you ain't human like we human. And when they said that, hey, man, it just got easy for them to do all kinds of dirt. By the end, all the Germans could do, man, was like get rid of them, you know, kill them all. Because, you know, they couldn't see them being anything better than rats or bugs.
That sounds like a miserable-ass movie.
Man, but it was real, all right? And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this movie. And I'm realizing that it's happening again.
How you mean, Gary?
Hey, man, we sitting here day after day making ourselves a little bit less human. And the world's happy to see it. It seems like they're happy to see it, man. I mean, when I was making money, like, it didn't matter. Because I was still a nigga. And now that I'm sitting up here getting high with y'all, it's still the same.
You talk some crazy shit, Gary.
Don't you see what I'm saying? The Germans made the Jews and the niggers. That's what that was about. And that's what this is here.
Shit, we doing it to ourselves. It seems like the world just can't wait for us to finish. Until we all end up dead.
Man, just shut up and shoot dope.
Man.
Thank you for joining us at Our Common Ground. I'm Janice Graham, your host, and our call-in number is 347-838-9852. In this first hour, we are talking about and discussing and taking a look at the HBO presentation of David Simon's and Charles Hutton's The Corner. The Corner was an American television miniseries based on a book, and the title of that book was The Corner, A Year in the Life of an Inner City Neighborhood. We welcome your calls about your introspection, your insight. The show is, the miniseries is now being shown by HBO as part of their offerings for Black History Month. February is Black History Month. At 347-838-9852, we would like to hear from you. I'm going to ask people in the chat room to hold off sending people to other sites so that we can have a discussion here. 347-838-9852. O. Henry is absolutely right that there are a number, and Chicago Stepper has also provided some links. If you have not seen the show, you might want to take a look at it. The Corner chronicles the life of a family living in poverty and the open-air drug markets of West Baltimore. The Corner is at the junction of West Lafayette Street and Monroe Street, and it is the story of real people. T.K. Carter plays Gary McCullough, who is a drug addict, and he is the father of DeAndre and Fran. Fran is a drug addict. He's the mother of DeAndre. She's the mother of DeAndre and Derod. Let me give you some examples of some of the episodes. The writers are David Simon and David Mills, and the director was Charles Dutton. In talking to Gary, Fran, both of them drug addicts, Fran says to Gary, the father of her children, how we look trying to raise children up in the middle of this craziness. And DeAndre says to his friends, things were going well for Fran at the time during this scene, and the family had moved into a new home, but it wasn't going so well with Gary, who lost his job as the crab season ended. And with the baby on the way, DeAndre attempts to walk a straight line. He took a job at a Wendy's restaurant while still trying to earn money off the corner, and agreeing to a midnight curfew imposed by his mother, who is who has finally kicked the drugs, but the drugs are starting to take their toll on corner sellers, Fat Kurt, who Gary clearly says that he admired when he was old. But DeAndre says in one of the episodes to his friends about taking on some other drug dealers, challenging some of the drug dealers from D.C. He says, I can't be locked up with my baby born, man. And one of the riveting scenes that I found, and I really invite, and I do invite you to call us at 347-838-9852 if you have seen this movie. But one of the all-time quotes from this miniseries is when one of the hard oldest drug dealers in the community says to another one, when he says, I've been working hard trying to find some drugs today. And he says, as he looks into the camera, and Charles Dutton did just a fabulous job in directing this film. He says, ain't no job harder in America. So if you have not seen it, we certainly recommend it. We're going to be changing, taking a break and changing our discussion and going to The Wire. And for those of you who have not, who have seen The Wire, we certainly invite your input, your express, your sharing, your insight about The Wire. And we will tell you that The Wire, and we're going to be dealing with, for those of you who tried to scramble to see it today, was one of television's most critically acclaimed programs. It received the prestigious Peabody Award. This drama series challenged the viewers about the whole issue of what urban America and the problems of urban America embody. I'm Janice Graham. You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. And if you would like to join our chatters, our chat room is open, and you are certainly welcome at blogtalkradio.com, OCG. In our chat room, we have Alpho and Chicago Stepper. Doc Don is with us, and Dr. Deborah, thank you for so much for being with us. India Declare of the India Declare Show, Navaxar, who is also on the line, but she's listening on her BlackBerry, and O. Henry. And for those of you who are listening, these are people from Chicago, Michigan, Oklahoma, Texas in the house, and Atlanta, the big ATL, and we certainly thank them for joining us in the chat room this evening. I cannot recommend any film more highly than I recommend The Corner. I think that every black family ought to have a copy of this film in their library. We're going to go to our phones, and 678 is calling. Please, when you call, identify yourself and give us an idea where you're calling from. Good evening. Thank you for joining us at Our Common Ground.
Hey, Janice. This is O. Henry.
Hey, O. Henry from the big ATL.
I'm calling from Atlanta. I got in a little late this evening. I was thinking I was going to miss a majority of the show, but I'm glad I was able to catch on. And
hey, O. Henry, guess what? I got in a little late, too. Now, you're one of the people that saw The Corner. Did you see it when it was airing live?
Yes, I saw it when it initially came on, and I made a point to watch every episode. As I mentioned, I had the book, and I had the DVD. But I saw it when it came on, and it was very profound because it showed something that if a person didn't realize such things existed, they would have just thought that it was just a well-written-out drama, when in actuality, it was reality.
It was about real people. Fran was real. DeAndre was real. Tyrico was real. Blue was real.
He took a year out of those individuals' lives and wrote a book about it, and it stayed pretty true to the book. The series did. I think it was an eye opener for those of us that saw it, even though a lot of us knew some of those things were going on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't sugarcoat it. It wasn't one of those stories. Had it been a television show, in the end, everything would have turned out great for everyone. But because it was real life, some people were able to overcome. Some people were okay for a while and then slipped back. Some people lost their lives, and that's what it's really like in this world, especially on the corners in this country. I enjoyed that clip you played where Gary mentioned that he went out of town. He went to North Carolina. His family sent him there. And there was a corner there. So there's a corner everywhere. I grew up in
there's a corner everywhere, is what he said.
I grew up in a small town in South Carolina. And what the corner where we were was called the Hill. Grew up in Orangeburg, South Carolina. It's a college town, predominantly black and industry-type town. But the area there was the Hill. Of course, when I was growing up, people were primarily, it was marijuana, you know, some heroin, and then crack was just hitting. Early 80s. I left in 87, but it was just as bad there on the Hill as it was on the corner.
In terms of your insight, O. Henry, let me ask you, what was the thing that you felt was a learning experience for most Americans that watched this series?
What jumped out to me was Gary was a hardworking black man with two jobs. He owned a home. He was taking care of his family. And when it went south for him, it went south. That showed me that no one is immune. Sometimes when people think of drugs, they think of strictly poor communities or individuals who never had a chance anyway. Gary was in college. In college and doing well. He owned a beautiful home because the home was still there. Of course, it was boarded up.
And it became a shooting gallery.
Right. That stood out to me. And the other thing that stood out to me was no one really seemed to care. When I say no one, I mean the authorities. Every now and then the police would come around and bust the small-time deals, what have you. But no one really gave a damn about those people that were in that situation. Not when it got down to it. Their families cared about them, and you know, they tried to, some of the family members tried to pull them up, but when it got down to it, didn't anyone really care. The other thing that stood out to me was the health issues that go along with a heroin addiction. Once a person begins to break their body down with that poison, always remember Fat Kurt's legs and arms. And,
and even the woman that was administering, yes.
She was giving them the shots, and you remember her back and her arms, and, you know, that's real. But people don't understand, you know, they think, I don't know, it's probably something that most people can't imagine. They've never seen it, so they can't imagine it anyway. But that put it right out there on Front Street. The other thing, the final thing that stood out to me was it didn't matter who you were. If you were a teenager, if you were college age, if you were an adult, if you were an older person, no one was immune to that addiction or for it to hit them and change their lives. They were caught up in the game somehow, be it selling, be it using, or somewhere in between, benefiting from one or the other.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. The other thing that, as you describe that comes to mind for me is, you know, and Gary was the one of the characters who died.
Right.
He died from an overdose. And one of the things that just sat out for me, O. Henry, was the idea that all of the broken down addicts, all of the steeped in anger and rage drug dealers, they all gave Gary his props for having achieved something.
Correct.
They truly loved him. You know, they continued to have hope and respect for him in a way that most people, in thinking about a drug environment, and addiction environment would not expect.
Exactly.
The other is the way in which Fran held on to her responsibility as a mother, even though she failed miserably and was drug addicted. She wanted to be a mother.
Mm-hmm. Because remember, Deanna had a little brother.
That's right, Duran.
Right, and she did a good job trying as best she could in her situation, even when
exactly.
she went away, without giving away too much. When she went to try to get clean, she tried to make sure they had money and other things to
yep.
sustain them while she was gone.
That's right. That's right. Oh, Henry, can I get you to hold over? We need to switch over to The Wire because we have less than an hour left.
Right.
And
that's another one of my favorites.
Okay. We'll be right back at you. Hold on.
Okay, cool. I'll be right here.
That was O. Henry, and we thank him for his call. You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. We're going to conclude our discussion on The Corner and move on to HBO's The Wire. And we're hoping that you will join us in this discussion. Our number is 347-838-9852. If you want to write that down and join us in the discussion. I think one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to try to continue. We asked people last night if they would kind of try to get into watching some of this. But The Wire is an American television drama series set and produced in Baltimore. Again, it was created, produced, and primarily written by author and former police reporter David Simon. The series was broadcast on HBO, and it began on June 2nd, 2002, and ended on March 9th, 2008. Five seasons comprise 60 episodes. Each season of The Wire focused on a different facet of the city of Baltimore, and they were the illegal drug trade, the port system, the city government and bureaucracy, the school system, and the print news media. There was a huge cast, and many of the people in the cast were not necessarily well known. And Simon has said that despite its presentation as a crime drama, the show is really about American city and about how we live together. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about HBO's The Wire.
Our Common Ground. Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham.
You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Grant.
We'll be right back.
power and ourselves. I'll be listening for you.
To Our Common Ground with Janice Graham.
This is Janice Graham. And you're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, a community discussion. Charles Hutton's The Corner and HBO's The Wire, Season 1. I'll be listening for you.
And thank you for joining us here at Our Common Ground. We are moving into our discussion about The Wire, an American television drama series set and produced in Baltimore, Maryland. And each season of The Wire focused on a different facet of the city of Baltimore: illegal drug trade, the port system, the city government and bureaucracy, the school system, and the print news media. It was riveting without a doubt. Many of you will not know, or probably know by now, but will not know when broadcast on HBO and some other international networks, the episodes were preceded by a recap of events that had a bearing upon the upcoming narrative. And thank you again. Our number is 347-838-9852. If you would like to join us in this discussion, we have O. Henry, who is going to join us, and I'm going to also bring on a caller from 916. Please identify yourself and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, Ms. Graham. This is Information Man. I'm
Information Man.
Hi. I just wanted to listen in on the show.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't have access to my computer, so I just wanted to listen. That's why I was calling in.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being with us. We sure will be pleased and excited for you to get your new computer. But if you, I'm going to keep you open if you want to chime in. But
okay.
I'm going to go back to O. Henry and invite callers. So that we can have a group discussion, the India Declare style. Oh, Henry, thank you for staying with us during our break. Are you there? Oh, Henry, you're back on. You're back on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Information Man is listening in, and I'm going to bring the Voxar, who has also been holding, on the air. The Voxar, you are on the air, and we have two more lines that we can bring people in at 347-838-9852. Oh, Henry, I'm sure that you watched. Did you watch all six seasons of The Wire?
I watched every season. Yes, I did. And my favorite was the one about the schools.
Uh-huh.
But they hit on some good issues in every season. The first season was great because, here again, it was something different. Things that people probably didn't realize. What went on, how it went on, and the way the so-called war on drugs is fought in this country,
mm-hmm.
and how it usually shakes out. Because if you watch that first season, nothing profound really happened as far as getting the drugs off the streets. A couple
mm-hmm.
of people went to jail for a short period of time. The one kid that took all the heat, that got the most time, was primarily because he wouldn't roll over on his compatriots in that case, which in this case happened to be his family as well.
Uh-huh.
But here again, it showed how sad the state of affairs are when it comes to individuals involved in that life, the fast street life, the drugs, the violence, the destruction right within our community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It shows you the mentality of individuals who are supposedly at the top of this situation, and any individuals who are low players, what they think. I remember in the first season, a young man making the analogy of it being a chess game, and he explained to them how one of the young men asked him, well, how does a pawn move up? And eventually what he told him, the king stays the king. And that's how it goes. And unfortunately, the king that they know is not actually the drug kingpin, but
mm-hmm.
it showed how it's a futile effort.
I've got a clip from David Simon talking about the film or the series, The Wire. David Simon is the writer. He was a crime reporter with the Philadelphia Inquiry. Let's listen to him for a moment.
So they are more and more expendable. The institutions in which they serve or are supposed to be served by are indifferent, are more and more indifferent to their existence. I came from a newspaper, one of the better newspapers in the country, where I got to learn my trade. There are 300 people in that newsroom where there used to be 450. And they are providing less news coverage about our city. They're attended to government less than they ever were. Their buying power has been denied. Their medical has been cut. Knowledgeable reporters. We don't need as many to fill the stuff around the comics and the ads as we once did. We can take the wires. You name me an institution in American society, I'll show you where they basically betrayed the people they're supposed to serve or be served by. And I didn't start as a cynic. I have to say, I expected a lot more of the future 20 years ago. But at every given moment where this country has had a choice, and even on a local level, this country, its corporations, its institutions, its government, its social framework has had a choice to exalt the value of individuals over the value of the share price. We have chosen raw, unencumbered capitalism. Capitalism has become our god. And the fact that it is, and I accept that it is the only viable way to generate wealth on a large scale. I'm not arguing, you're not looking at a Marxist up here. But you are looking at somebody that doesn't believe that capitalism, absent a social framework that accepts that it is relatively easy to marginalize more and more people in this economy, in this post-industrial economy, every day. and that that has to be attended to, and that that has to be a conscious calculation on the part of society, that that is going to succeed. It's not going to succeed. You're eventually going to have, you know, the gated communities and the people inside saying, it is a shame you can't drive downtown anymore.
That was David Simon. He is talking about much of what we are talking about, and that is how so many of the entities in our society simply was able to walk away and watch the things that are depicted, especially in regard to how you know, we're talking about in our current politics, we're talking about employment. In the second season of The Wire, they focus on the unions at the port system in the city of Baltimore and how people were losing their jobs, losing their hours, and how the drug trade, the international drug trade, the international corporatists, were able to assist in the deterioration of that system. In the third season, they talk about the city government and bureaucracy, and it's all interwoven into the illegal drug trade, even to the street level, and how it plays out in the school system, and how it plays out in the media. You are welcome to call us and join in this conversation with O. Henry at 347-838-9852. If you have seen The Wire, especially the first season, which is what we're going to try to focus on tonight, we certainly encourage your calls. We've got 773 coming on with us. Alfo from Chicago, welcome to Our Common Ground and our discussion of The Wire.
Good evening, Janice, and thank you. I've been listening to the show in its entirety, and the things that I didn't watch The Corner at all. But I watched every episode of The Wire. And with having said that, I'll simply say this. When you see a scenario that has developed in the situations presented on The Corner and on The Wire, when you continue to watch the deterioration of a community, a willful and purposeful deterioration of a community. These drugs were supplied by the government. This crack was introduced to our community with just that in mind. If you can assist a society to eliminate themselves, then you can simply sit back and vilify them and marginalize them. But I'll say this. When you see these scenarios, and as they're playing out, and as the people in our community fall victim to it, what else will people who haven't fallen victim to it, people who have achieved, the first thing they want is out. They want out of that community. They want out of that scenario. And that simply leaves the gamers, the players, the dealers, the addicts, that leaves all of them playing on themselves. You made it was laughable. It would be laughable if it wasn't so pathetic. She needed a $200 for an abortion, and she wasn't going to use it for the abortion, but she could get $200 out of it. He added up $400, and it went on and on and on. Everyone is gaming everybody else. And they're all just gaming themselves because they are all wallowing in this barrel full of crabs. And once anyone achieves anything, once anyone overcomes all of those negatives and achieves, they want to get the hell out of Dodge. They want to get away from these people because they don't want to be crab barreled. I'll call it crab barreled. And that's exactly what you see. And that's exactly what you will continue to see. At some point in time, we've got to cut our losses. People who have achieved, people who are on the other. I'm not saying abandon them and say there's no need to go back and try to save. But it's all about who's going to listen. It's the same scenario when you hear or when you see education not being cool in the black community. Education, you're a nerd. You're basically beaten up. You're criticized. You're marginalized if you are smart.
So, well, you know, I think that one of the reasons that we came to doing this show, Alpho, is that I think that we have to dispel so many of the media-induced myths about what we do want and what we do need. Alpha, let me ask you to hold on for a minute because I want to play this clip. In the first season of The Wire, which began airing in June 2002, it introduces two major groups of characters, the Baltimore Police Department and a drug-dealing organization run by the Barksdale family. And two of their drug dealers are young boys. One is a cousin of the kingpin, Avon Barksdale. The other is a young boy who's growing up in the projects in Baltimore, and they're having a discussion about what they want. So take a listen to this, and let's introduce this into what you're saying. Oh, Henry and Information Man and Navaxar, stay with us on this clip.
I just don't want to play. I don't want to play no more. All right. I was thinking about going to school. Yo, I said I don't want to play.
I heard you.
Yo, I said I don't want to play.
And you ain't got to do nothing. I heard you. Take it. Hurry up, nigga. People looking. Look here, man. You a smart little motherfucker. You start back up at Edmondson, you likely to finish up at Harvard or some shit like that. Believe, B. And you? You got a good heart in there, too. I like the rest of these names.
You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham, speaking truth to power and ourselves. I'll be listening for you.
You see, Alpho, here is D'Angelo, who has murdered someone, working a drug corner, a major drug system in the public housing in the city of Baltimore. And he's talking to this young brother and he's saying, you don't have to do this. So whose myth is it? I don't know, you know, Henry, help me out here because I don't know who started this thing about black children believing being smart is somehow an evil thing.
I always got the feeling, Janice, D'Angelo in his character in The Wire was in the family business because it was the family business. Avon was his uncle. His mother, Avon's sister, was a behind-the-scenes player in the game, but that's what he knew. But in his heart and his mind, he was a better kid than that.
Yeah.
You know,
I absolutely agree.
His surrogates under him, Bodie and Poot and whatever
Poot,
the
mm-hmm.
little guy that was, well, at first they didn't respect him. And
mm-hmm.
then I think begrudgingly they did. He wasn't a hardened criminal. He got caught up in the situation where he shot the man and he went to trial, remember, but he got off because witnesses were bribed and what have you. But he really had no stomach or heart for this game. If he could have done better, he would have. Remember when he met the young lady at the strip club, and she was in college, too, and he really liked her. But when she found out what he really was about, you know, I think she knew he was dealing drugs. I remember one of her friends got killed at a party, well, died from an overdose at a party. And they ended up dumping the girl's body, and she found out he knew something about that.
She ended up marrying Freeman.
Yes, but she dumped him. And that hurt him because, remember, he had the hood girlfriend, if you want to say that. They had a child together. But he had visions of doing more and being more, but it was all he knew. And then he saw Wallace, that was the young man's name, still had a chance. And Wallace really didn't have the stomach or the heart for that either. You know, eventually he witnessed, he was a witness to the murder of Omar's lover. Remember, he pointed him out in the arcade, and Avon's boys got a hold of him, and they tortured him, and they killed him. And when he saw that dead body, it bothered him to no end. Remember, he got out of the game for a while. They got him out of the city, but he came back to what he knew. But he was a smart kid. He really was. He knew numbers. He was good at math. But he was taking care of a group of children.
Children in a bombed out apartment.
That was that was rigged up to the electricity via
exactly.
It was in rigged more or less. That's when it gets back to no one really, really cared because there was no one there to check up on those kids. But he got those kids up, gave them something to eat, and told them, get to school. He was like their father. He was probably a 15, 16-year-old kid. So he knew the way out as well, but maybe it just wasn't in his grasp. There was no one there to guide him, but he was glad to be smart.
Yeah, but let's go back to Alpho's point. Alpho, see, one of the things that we've got to come, that we talked about last night, that we've got to come to grips about is that if you look at The Wire and you look at the absolute obstinate white supremacy of the police department, the judicial system, and the people who were supposed, they were more interested in hiding from these issues than they were in resolving them. That's why McNulty was always in trouble, because McNulty wanted to get to the bottom of it. But I often wonder who creates these images around these problems.
Well, when you say creating these images, just let me say this. Ever since I was going to school, and, you know, somebody invented the wheel and I was able to ride to school, there has always been that bully, that bad butt, that has no other recourse. That is his shield. That is his fail-safe when it comes to doing battle with those who are smarter than he is, because he always either beats them up or vilifies them to the other students around him. This has been going on for generations. Being smart has not been cool in the black community for a long, long time. And the more the prison system creeped over the walls and into our community, and the more it has infected. It's like a virus. It's like an airborne virus. And I simply say this about it. It has taken hold. You will never reverse it. We can speak to our children, and we can talk to our children, but if we keep them in this environment, it will swallow them whole. That is why people, African-American men, African-American women, who achieve, leave this environment because they don't want it to assimilate their children, or rub off on them and affect them to that extent.
You know, Alpha, I have a friend, a very good friend, and if I told you her name, you would know who she is, so I'm not going to tell you her name. But she teaches at a very prestigious, she's a tenured and teaches at a very prestigious university. And she has a son who is an enforcer. He's a drug enforcer. He's been involved in drugs since he was 15. He never graduated from high school and is a very, very smart man. He's probably in his late 30s or early 40s now, and he is an enforcer, which means that he's very violent, and he's deep in the drug whatever, cartel or whatever. And she always tells this story that they lived out in some very prestigious suburbs outside of Boston. He went to a very prestigious private school. And even when he was 13 years old, she had to take his bicycle away because he would bike the 23 miles into Boston to get into the inner city with his boys.
Yeah.
So I don't think, I think that one of the things that The Wire does for us, you know, you look at Omar. He goes to jail. He goes to jail. He reverses his sexual identity. He comes out as a gay man. He's still violent. He's still in the game. He's very smart. His grandmother, he goes to church with his grandmother every Sunday morning. And you can go through this series and see that essentially, but for the circumstances in the environment, go I. Go all of our children.
Omar had a code as well. He robbed drug dealers, but he never threatened everyday citizens.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I gathered from Omar is, you know, people, you know, and you know, maybe it's helping us to understand real people because the series was very realistic. Oftentimes, when people think of homosexual men, they think of someone who's feminine and soft. Wasn't anything feminine about Omar. He was gay, but he was probably one of the toughest characters ever on television. Certainly top three of the most violent. He was just as bad as Scarface.
Yeah. But Alpha, do you see that there are so many holes here? You know, for instance, I often wonder the kids that Wallace was taking care of, the six or seven kids that he was making breakfast, even if it was all that sugared cereal, he made sure that they had food. He made sure that they went to school. He was, what, 18 years old, 17 years old?
Maybe not that old. Maybe about 15 or 16.
I think in the scene where he and D'Angelo are talking, I think he says that he's 17 and he's in the ninth grade.
You're right.
Because
You're right.
D'Angelo says to him, "You're 17, you just in the ninth grade?" You know, so I think there are points of a redemption, but I have to ask about my damn tax money and what the city government and the bureaucracy was doing, and I'm sure that David Simon was telling the raw truth about it, what they were doing to enable this, and what they weren't doing.
Well, you're absolutely right. The question:
who the hell's children were those that Wallace had?
The question should be raised, but Janice, that's like any drug war, or you know, it's always more profitable to be appearing to fight it than it is to actually fight it. That's the same thing with illegal immigration. That's the same. That is what is the, that is where the, I guess that's the Achilles heel of our society is. It is now the darker side of our society is so easily manipulated by those who write these laws and craft these laws, the political prostitutes that we elect. There's no, there's a serious depraved indifference about helping these people. And then that's why the, why do you think that there's one party that's, that appears to be socialist, and there's another party that's just anti-socialist?
We knew that was coming. Our number is 347-838-9852 if you'd like to join us about in this discussion about The Wire. But one of the things that I think there is no doubt is that when we watch series like this, that we can discern some of the messages that we get in our mainstream media have been contrived. And when I say that, what I mean is that the way in which all of this has been reported has been in such a distorted way that people don't see these characters as real people, and they are as real as our own children, as our grandchildren.
And so stories.
Pardon me? Go ahead.
What Alpha was saying, how no one really cares, you know, the prophet is in prosecuting the war on terror, the war on drugs, not actually fixing the problem. When you get down to it, I mean, as you go through the seasons, it turns out the person who was truly supplying the drugs in this neighborhood, remember, was the Greek.
Who That's right.
The second season. And
yep.
No one had any clue that, well, they tried to get near him in the second season. They didn't. And they never got close to him again. When they found out that some of those contractors were allowing Barksdale and Stringer to launder money, that went away quickly once they found out who those individuals were.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept their foot on the little street corner dealers, Barksdale, Marlowe, and what have you. They never really tried to get to the bottom of the problem. They wouldn't follow the money.
Well, that is why I think that it is so important, O. Henry, for people to connect the dots. I think that The Wire and The Corner are worth us studying, because then we can use our own sense of what we understand rather than someone else telling us how to think about it. Let's just talk about in the first season how McNulty had to work so hard to insist upon competent law enforcement investigation into the killing of a black man and a black woman.
And look at how his superiors treated him.
Yes.
The pariah. Because he wanted to actually do some real police work. McNulty was a nut, but he actually wanted to look into this. No one cared. Black
exactly.
Boy.
Exactly. Let's look at, for instance, the judge, you know, the judge that McNulty.
You read my mind.
His attitude about a witness being murdered from his court. Let's look at, I mean, The Wire has so much for those of you who have not seen it. It is a must study. I was part of a discussion group when The Wire, that started in the first season of The Wire, and the moderator was Dr. Ray Wimbush, where we would all get on a conference call after The Wire and had, it was listserv during that time, and watching it over and over, because what has happened is, in this country, the corporate media has made sure that we lay blame on people like Omar and Musan and Prop Joe and what was the lesbian gangster name?
Snoop.
That we and that is what David Simon was saying, that there has been a benign neglect in really examining what is happening here, what happened then and still happening. You know, the terrorist does not the terrorist that as we knew it, as a matter of fact, when David Simon ended his first season, the second season opens with the terrace in West Baltimore being torn down. And there's better housing in terms of the physical structure, but the same thing is going on. And the thing is that we sit around and we talk about how our black families are deteriorating, but these are the things that lend themselves to the deterioration, and none of us are immune. Can I say that again? Okay, I'm getting up in here like India Declare. Can I say it again? None of us are immune, because as we go into this economy where there are no jobs for anybody, guess what's happening on the corner in West Baltimore, and what's happening at the new terrace in Baltimore City. I'm really suggesting that all of you who are listening, if you have not seen The Wire, that you go online. I think you can get it online. Chicago Stepper can tell me how you can get it online. And, you know, it's almost the health imperative. People are talking about they don't want to pay taxes, and they don't want to have big government. Imagine for a minute some of the family, the background family stuff, Alfo, that went on in season one and season two of The Wire, and how children would get fed if there weren't food stamps. How Fran would have been able to come out of her addiction if there hadn't been drug rehabilitation programs associated with Medicaid, and if there hadn't been Section 8 that would have gotten her and her children out of the do drop-in.
Well, Dennis, when you start speaking about, when you look at it in that order, look at how the right so decries socialism and social programs, welfare, you know, that is a solid plan coming to fruition. When you hear these people talk about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, many of us didn't have boots. And if those who didn't have boots are simply allowed to, you know, languish and, you know, in their own realities, yeah. What are you going to have?
You're right. You're right. We're going to have to continue this discussion. I am hoping that you can write me at janice@ourcommonground.com. And if we want to continue the discussion of The Wire, I am willing to do that on Saturday nights for the remainder of the period, because I think that this is what we ought to be studying. We need to take our heads out of our asses, take our heads out of Time Magazine and the New York Times, and look at each other. Alfo and O. Henry, I thank you so much for your call. Navaxar and Information Man, thank you for being with us. Dr. Deborah.
Thank you.
Chicago Stepper, Doc Don, and, of course, Miss India Declare, and you can catch the India Declare show here at Blog Talk Radio at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday here at the Blog Talk Radio, the India Declare Show. It is She Talks Real, Right Now, and Raw. I'm Janice Graham. Thank you for being with us, and thank you so much. And I can't underscore the ability of this series to give us, you know, one of the things that I'm suggesting is this, that we can look back and see what we didn't see in the context of all the events, all of the community banks that have never served us, all of the social systems that have failed us, all of the propaganda that have been passed along by our news media, and begin to see the recession, begin to see the health concerns, the health imperatives necessary. All of these things are absolutely essential for us to see them in the context of who we really are, not what somebody told us, but what we see ourselves in all of this. I'm Janice Graham. Thank you so much for being with us. Check our site at ourcommonground-talk.ning.com. We'll be posting the clips that we use for this show on that site. That's where we get together and we have community and continue the discussion to speak truth to ourselves and to each other. Here is, for those of you who have enjoyed it and for those of you who have not seen it, here are some of the voices of The Wire.
You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham, speaking truth to power and ourselves. I'll be listening for you.
Cast mayor of a broke-ass city.
Fuck Marlo, man. Fuck him. And anybody that think it's all right to do people this way.
Motherfuckers come to me and say, New day, Jimmy.
Talking shit about how I was going to change. Shit never fucking changes.
So one thieving politician trumps 22 dead bodies. Good to know.
You go a long way in this country killing black folk. Young males especially.
Fuck them West Coast niggas. And B-more, we aim ahead of nigga, you heard?
My word is still my word. And here, in Baltimore, and in any place you could think of calling home, it'll be my word that finds you.
Whoever's a smaller place now.
You're not even worth the skin off my knuckles, Junior.
Jimmy, don't.
You put fire to everything you touch, McNulty, then you walk away while it burns.
Motherfucker. You are a cunt hair away from indictment, and you see fit to argue with me.
Joe, you've been so busy being devious, you done messed around and got yourself caught up in the web.
How about we take your faggot ass in the back room and get into some diabolical brutality? Find our shit the old-fashioned way. Feel me?
No matter if he said it or not. People think he said it. Can't let that shit go.
This game is rigged, man.
Listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham, speaking truth to power and ourselves. I'll be listening for you.
You're listening to Our Common Ground with Janice Graham.
Janice Graham, and you're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, a community discussion, Charles Hutton's The Corner and HBO's The Wire, Season 1. I'll be listening for you.